So this afternoon, we'll be exploring the theme a little bit more. And we're also going to meditate a bit together and do a ritual together. So I thought I'd start with just reflecting a little bit on what Ratnadeva was saying earlier on, and the fact that we are here on a Trust Your Mind retreat. And it's really trust your mind heart. There is that connection between the mind and heart, that being just one. So we're focusing a lot, especially on the heart here. And one of the positive mental sort of events or mental states is Shraddha. Shraddha is what we translate as faith, confidence, or trust. And Ratnadeva was talking about there being three aspects to it: the cognitive, the emotional, and the volitional aspect. So we sort of came across these different ideas of realities or truths, deep faith. And then we've looked a little bit about the faith of qualities, lucid faith. And then we looked at the volitional one, where we focused on capacities and our longing to sort of be united with that ideal that we might hold. So really, faith or trust or confidence or whatever we call Shraddha is really a response to higher values. And I really, really liked how Ratnadeva used that quote from Lawrence, and that was the whole of us wholly attending, and he changed it to the whole of us wholly responding. So that's just a really lovely description of what faith is: our whole body being engaged, our whole being being engaged. And early on at lunchtime, when we were doing the Padmasambhava mantra, the Padmasambhava mantra was actually calling Padmasambhava's name. It was just calling for him in a really longing way. And I felt really moved by that mantra, really kind of almost to the point of tears. And I was kind of reflecting, how did I get to this place where I'm moved by evoking a name of a person I hadn't even encountered, you know, like, who is Padmasambhava? And in some ways, Padmasambhava was this historical figure, but also there is a lot of mysticism or magic surrounding that particular person. And I thought, you know, my being moved by it, for me, it was a journey from the cognitive, where I learn a little bit more about Padmasambhava. I hear about him. I'm being introduced to that particular figure by people who practice, visualize that particular figure, and they in some ways already embody those qualities. And out of that cognition, out of that learning, it actually developed my emotional response. So now when I hear that mantra, or now when I'm kind of participating in that, it's got a real emotional effect where I'm almost driven to tears. So I was kind of reflecting, you know, what motivates me, or what drives me, you know, what makes one to practice and turn up? And I was thinking about it in relation to rituals. So my initial relation to rituals was one of fear, aversion, and probably some kind of arrogance going on in the mix as well, thinking, what is everybody doing? They just don't know what they're up to here. So that, you know, that was my first experience of rituals within the Buddhist setting. And really what drives me, or what motivates me, is the cognitive. Very much, you know, I always got really motivated by the truths of the Dharma. So I resonate with that kind of deep faith that was there from the beginning. But there is really that desire of leading a meaningful life. You know, if I was to drop dead tomorrow or even today, I was thinking, have I lived life worth living? Has it got a meaning? And I'd be kind of like, yeah, I'm happy with that. So in Buddhism, we talk about this path that we start on. And the path is often when we encounter Buddhism to start with, we might have a little insight or we might have a little initial experience that get us going. So there is this path of vision. And Ratnadeva touched on that a little bit when he talked about the Eightfold Path. So we might have this path of vision, and that is just the first step. So in Four Noble Truths, when we're looking at how do we actually overcome suffering or come to terms and live in the context of suffering, the fourth noble truth is that there is a way you can get out by practicing the Eightfold Path. And the first leg of that Eightfold Path is that vision, having that initial insight, seeing or resonating with that truth. But then there are seven other aspects of that noble path, and that's actually a transformation path where you have to put that initial vision and make a gradual transformation where all aspects of your life might be transformed. So there is a real importance of integrating all aspects of your life. And often we get pulled in different ways. We talked about that a little bit in our group. Somebody mentioned that, you know, sometimes you get pulled in all sorts of directions. And when you're practicing the Dharma, it's really important. And what is required is for transformation to take place, we need to go from that transition from vision to a full enlightenment, full embodiment of our highest ideals. So this transition, you know, why is it so hard? I mean, it's massive, you know? And I was thinking about, I was watching a documentary lately with Tenzin Palmo, and I've got this one book which is called The Journey to Enlightenment, which is about Khyentse Rinpoche, and it's got loads of photographs in there. And I love looking at it because it kind of has faces of people. And I'll just share with you, if I can, a couple of images. Yeah, I just love looking at these people. The lady here is Tenzin Palmo on the top left corner. And when you're looking at these images, there's like their faces were etched with kindness. It's almost like their practice is habituated and embodied in the people. So, you know, I might experience that now and then. Now and then I kind of, you know, I might have that kind of kind face. But I know that there are instances, and some people here in the room will know, when my face is kind of a bit harsher. So, you know, it's not quite as kind as I would like it to be from moment to moment. So, and I find, like, for example, with Tenzin Palmo, in one of the documentaries, she was talking to Dalai Lama, and she's clearly really passionate about women and them sort of having access to highest possible teachings and being in position where they can teach others. And you can see there is some frustration about the fact that that might still not be the case kind of after 30, 40 years. And yet, in that communication with Dalai Lama, there is still so much compassion and love. You know, at that moment where there is frustration, there is kindness, there is compassion. It's there moment to moment. So, you know, what for us to embody this, for us to embody this ideal that we aspire to, it requires a tremendous amount of energy, a tremendous amount of energy. And the energy is very much sort of in emotions. So for us, emotions can be a really useful source of energy. You know, sometimes people say, "Ah, my heart is not in it." Yeah. Yeah, your heart is not in it. Your emotions are not involved. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because, you know, there is no energy that is required for that. So when we have that initial insight, we need emotional engagement. And through that emotional engagement, it will allow us to embody and really sort of from moment to moment live out those ideals through our form as we are at the moment. So it's quite a leap, it's quite a big transformation, and really it's a transformation into the unknown. I think like Buddha, when he left the palace, you know, he didn't know that after 6 years, his mind will change to the extent that he will be in line with reality. That wasn't written down as a given. So, what he got inspired at that moment was when he saw an ascetic and a holy man, and in that you could see he recognized there was something which might have been possible, but what that was unknown. Well, that was an unknown. So when we want to move from the initial insight through the emotional engagement into the embodiment, imagination is a really, really useful tool for us. So we need some kind of vehicle. We need some kind of causeway. We need some kind of bridge, something, you know, a spaceship to carry us over from on that quite a massive task that we've kind of embarked on. So with imagination, I think, like for me, for example, even making the shrine yesterday, I spent an afternoon making a shrine, and that was a commitment where I would do an activity that brings me closer to the ideal that I aspire to, that prepares me, that gets my kind of energies going. You know, even the branches on this shrine come from our neighbors. So I've involved the neighbors and they all know we're having a retreat, you know? So there is that engagement where people are getting excited. And my partner came back after a long bike ride and entered the bedroom, lounge, and thought, "Whoa, that is a big shrine." So it was this something that maybe I want to make a claim for, is that faith arises from causes and conditions, yeah, and imagination can help us in that, and in some ways, building a shrine, preparing conditions, making something, it allows us to create conditions in which our heart can get engaged, our energies can get going. And it's the faith, we're using the word faith, but it's something that comes from ourselves, is that natural response to higher ideas. It's something that's in us, not something that might come from the outside. And in this context, when I was thinking about this faith, I was thinking the phrase popped into my head, and the phrase was, "Fake it until you make it." And I thought, You know, often that was for me associated with confidence and faith. I was kind of involved in education. I would sometimes stand in front of 100, 200 students, parents, and you kind of needed to come across as confident and kind of believing that what you're saying is the right thing, kind of thing. So for me, even in training in communication, you know, that whole mantra of fake it until you make it is quite a strong thing. And I thought, you know, does this apply to spiritual life? Does this apply to, you know, to devotion and ritual in Buddhism? And I thought, yes and no. And I thought, yes, to the extent that through rituals we might be creating conditions where we might create emotional engagement, but no, in the sense of it's really important what is happening in those conditions. And you know, I think it's really important sometimes to sort of question when you're doing rituals or when you're doing devotions, you know, what are you cultivating? Are you cultivating emotional engagement or are you cultivating emotional aversion? Yeah. And so that question of what is being cultivated is really important in relation to engaging the heart. And for that, we do require awareness. And that's why, you know, meditation and cultivating awareness is just so important. And I was also reflecting before, in the last session, we were talking about, you know, types and temperaments. And we were talking about also conditions in society in relation to faith. And Ratnadeva mentioned kind of a thinking type and a faith type. And I think it might be useful to sometimes look at starting points and certain dispositions. And we might also look at societal conditions. You know, what does a society prefer? And what does a society value? Because that might condition you in relation to how you engage your heart in relation to your higher values. So in society, it's quite useful to have some kind of self-control of emotions and sort of emotional energies. Otherwise, it might be a total chaos. But what happens in some societies, we might have a suppression of emotions. And what happens is that can create emotional blockages. And when that happens is that, you know, it might be difficult for us to engage our hearts because we got into a habit of disconnected from that heart. And I was thinking about that in relation to when I was a child. I used to love being in the woods, and I spent hours, and we used to make these we build little houses for ants and then looked at each other's houses. And I remember, and for me, I think I remember that was a feeling of, you know, of Shraddha, this total sort of emotional engagement and being involved in that. Or even I participated in rituals, often around fires, where we would kind of put a big fire and sat around a fire and did that in ritual ways. Or we would have kind of performances in the rocks with candles and smoke. And it was, you know, like I could feel my heart was just so tender with engagement and beauty and awe. And then, you know, and then I had that response where there is a total aversion when I did my first puja in the context of the Buddhist center. And I thought, what is everybody doing here? Well, I'm not going to the shrine. I'm not going to the front. So, you know, what happens between those moments where faith naturally kind of arises and actually that total aversion that might be taking place? And I thought sometimes, you know, in the context of Czech Republic, we had this communist society, and we used to get involved a lot in rituals. And from the beginning, what you were learning about rituals is you just putting it on. You know, you just celebrating the communist party, and it's all a big show. So you can see how in societies, and it might be sometimes in our religious conditioning and religious upbringing, where we might not necessarily be involved as a natural response, there might be something where actually you just trying to fit in and go with the flow. And that can have kind of a role where Shraddha and that natural response that you might have, you're actually suppressing that in that process. So in Buddhism doesn't ask for devotion per se. Devotion, the word devotion would be bhakti. And in a way, hopefully what you're getting a taste of here is that it's more than just devotion, because it has the cognitive aspect to it, and it also has longing. And rituals have got that expression of inner states through symbolic action. So with rituals, we use symbols, and they help us to aid imagination. So they catch our imagination, so our energies can get mobilized. And we've done a number of rituals, like the dedication ceremony, or we salute the three jewels, or we've chanted the Tiratna Vandana. So in a way, for us, we are creating rituals where we can get connected with that high ideal that matters to us. So one of the ways how we can do that, how we can practice and develop this, is through puja. And we'll do a small puja in a moment, and I'll say a little bit more when we get to that point. But for now, I thought maybe I'll just stop here, and we can, if anybody wants to make any comment or anybody wants to ask a question, we can spend a couple of minutes on that. And
is to see it as a way of harmonizing our energies, of getting our energies to flow in the same direction, training our energies through that constant repetition of attending to the breath, getting distracted, realizing we're distracted, and renewing that intention, renewing that action on the basis of the intention. And what we're doing there through a different means is training the subconscious minds to follow our conscious decision or conscious intention, and thereby, if you like, corralling our energies so that they are flowing in the same direction. So let's do a bit of focusing on both body and breath. So just adopting our meditation posture, as ever, stable, upright, relaxed, comfortable. One definition of meditation is relaxed alertness. So play around with your posture, get that point of balance. Dropping into an awareness of the body. First of all, feeling the points of contact with our chair, our mat, our cushion. And dropping into that support, allowing gravity to anchor us. the earth to support us. And just take a few breaths where, particularly on the out-breath, you are surrendering to gravity. And just notice what's going on in your body. Are there any points of tension? Or any sensations, like any tingling? What's the temperature like for you? Now I invite you to attend to the movement associated with your breath, with your breathing. First of all, in the whole body, getting a general sense of the movement associated with your breath. And we'll move into a 15-minute period of the mindfulness of breathing. And in this 15 minutes, I invite you to use whatever method works for you. I won't ring any bells. I won't define any stages. Just work with your breath, noticing your breath. If it helps, count on the at the beginning of the in-breath or the end of the out-breath. You may prefer to switch fairly quickly to not counting the breath. You may prefer to go straight to the breath at the nostrils. Whatever works for you, play with the options and see what works. Constantly noticing your level of attention. And of course, when you do drift, as inevitably we do, just noticing that and rejoicing in that point of mindfulness, that aha moment, and with kindness and gentleness, returning your attention to the breath. As we approach the end of the meditation, I invite you to drop any effort to attend to the breath and attend to your experience just as it is. If thoughts come, let them come. Let them be, let them go. Any feelings, any emotions, let them come, let them be, let them know, let them go. Just notice them. That's all we've got to do, like clouds in the sky.
So having prepared our minds and hearts through cultivating awareness, we in this perfect position, receptive position, to engage ourselves and engaging ourselves emotionally through a puja. And we will do a So we will not do a full-blown pujas, because pujas, sometimes the ritual can take on many different moods during the ritual, and it can serve lots of different purposes, where we go through a range of emotions in that particular devotional practice. But what we will do today is we will invoke Padmasambhava, and we've seen a beautiful rupa by Millie. She showed us on the shrine behind me. There is a small, tiny rupa of Padmasambhava there as well, and Just if you've never come across Padmasambhava before, he's a and I think Sahananda is showing us as well, maybe the mantra with Padmasambhava, and we've got a picture of beautiful sharing. Fantastic. Can you hold it there for a moment, Ratnadeva? So this is Padmasambhava, and he's a sort of a figure that was quite instrumental in establishing Buddhism in Tibet. And he was a great scholar, but also a great meditator with many sort of psychic powers that one can attain through deep practice of meditation. And in some ways, for us, what Padmasambhava represents is this wisdom and compassion, or love, pure sort of love and wisdom combined in one. And there is an incredible power as well, but power in the sense of he's very powerful in the way of engaging wisdom and love for the benefit of others. So this is the figure that we will be kind of invoking through our puja. And we will do that. First of all, you'll hear a reading which will kind of set the scene for us, for Padmasambhava. And after I've said that scene, we will invoke together Padmasambhava, and we will do that in call and response. So I will say a line, and then Ratnadeva, on behalf of all of you, will be responding. And you're welcome to sort of respond at home in whatever ways feels right for you. So we will do that invoking, and during the invocation, feel free, if you've got a drum, if you've got a pot to bang, when there is a time to bang, just go for it, allowing your neighbors and anybody who's around. But in some ways, you can just, you know, you can just let your heart, you can just let your heart leap and do whatever it likes to do. So after invocation, we will do offering section. And after offerings, again, in call and response, we'll do a slightly different mantra. And the mantra itself can be seen as an offering, but you can also make your offering. If you've got a candle, you might want to lit a candle, or you might want to make whatever offering. It can be just offering in your mind. So you are really offering your, you know, your kind of dedication to that ideal that you aspire to. And we'll conclude with transferring merit, again, in call and response. And when we transfer merit, it's kind of recognizing that we're doing all of this not just for ourselves, but we've got others in mind, because we recognize that we actually connected with each other. And for us to overcome suffering, it's actually for every person needs to overcome suffering for that to take place. So transference of merit is kind of really offering all the work that we've done and offering it to everyone, to all beings. And at the end of that, we'll just have a three mantras of the three parts of the mantra that we've done before lunch. So I encourage you, don't feel that you need to stare at the computer. If you've got a shrine, or you've got a picture that you want to look at, or you've got something beautiful to look at that inspires you, then do whatever you need to do. I think this is the beauty of a Zoom. Nobody will see what you're doing in some way. So, you know, if you feel like dancing during the mantra and make a dance offering, go for it, go for it. So I would say, let's just kind of pause for a moment. And we'll start with a short reading.
setting the scene. Puja to Padmasambhava. A Ma O. O wonder of wonders. From the immaculate Dharmadhatu, in the clear blue sky, in front of me, in the land of Urgyan, there appears the marvelous lake of Dhanakosha. Very deep, and filled with pure water, and possessing the 8 wondrous qualities. On the lake, magnificent deep red lotus. Thereon, a white moon mat, luminous and undefiled. And enthroned upon it, embodying all refuges, Guru Padmasambhava, lotus born. He sits cross-legged, the right leg hanging slightly down, poised at ease. He has all the signs and marks of a Buddha and is beautiful, blazing with glory. He wears 3 robes, the Vajrayana blue inner, the Hinayana monk's yellow, and the red flowing cloak of the Mahayana. In his right hand, resting upon the right knee, he clasps a golden vajra, truth itself. In his left hand, he holds the skull cup, Shunyata. Therein the pale red amrita nectar, the great bliss, and the vase of immortality. In the crook of his left arm, he holds the flaming 3-pronged trident, the Dakini, which bears 3 severed heads, an initiation vase and dharma rune, and vajras and silks. On his head, the red lotus cap, adorned with the 5 jewels, a vajra, and the yogin's vulture's feather. On the front, a sandis sermon's a moon crescent. His ears are pierced with rings of gold. His long black hair flows down. He wears all kinds of jeweled adornments. He is wrathful and smiling for the benefit of all beings. Invocation in call and response. Hung.
Hung.
In the magical land of Urgyan.
In the magical land of Urgyan.
At the center of a lotus.
At the center of a lotus.
You have attained the supreme city.
You have attained the supreme city.
Padmasambhava.
Padmasambhava.
Surrounded by a cloud of dancing Dakinis.
Surrounded by a cloud of dancing Dakinis.
Emulating you.
Emulating you.
I will perfect myself.
I will perfect myself.
Come, I pray, give me your blessings.
Come, I pray, give me your blessings.
Guru Padma Siddhi Hung.
Guru Padma Siddhi Hung.
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 Urgyan Nilgi.
Urgyan Nilgi.
From the magical land of Urgyan.
From the magical land of Urgyan.
Great noble one, Padmasambhava.
Great noble one, Padmasambhava.
Come from the realm of the Dakinis.
Come from the realm of the Dakinis.
Your blue-black hair cascading.
Your blue-black hair cascading.
Your rich robes swirling.
Your rich robes swirling.
You precious ornaments jingling.
Your precious ornaments jingling.
Your bone ornaments clattering.
Your bone ornaments clattering.
Amid thunder and music.
Amid thunder and music.
With a resounding hum.
With a resounding hum.
While the Daikini swirl and dance.
While the Daikini swirl and dance.
While the protectors stamp their warrior dance.
While the protectors stamp their warrior dance.
While the Daikinis race about.
While the Daikinis race about.
Fluttering silks fill the horizon.
Fluttering silks fill the horizon.
The Daikinis symbolic language resonates.
The Daikinis symbolic language resonates.
The great warrior's songs of power roar.
The great warrior's songs of power roar.
The sound of hung rumbles.
The sound of hung rumbles.
A great crash pierces the din.
A great crash pierces the din.
Come here, Padmasambhava, I pray.
Here, Padmasambhava, I pray.
Amid thunder and music with a resounding hong.
Amid thunder and music with a resounding hong.
The Daikinis swirl.
The Daikinis swirl.
The protectors stamp.
The protectors stamp.
The songs of power roar.
The songs of power roar.
The sound of hung rumbles.
Sound of hung rumbles.
A great crash pierces the din.
A great crash pierces the din.
Come here, Padmasambhava, I pray.
Here, Padmasambhava, I pray.
Offerings in call and response. With great fervor and fierce faith.
With great fervor and fierce faith.
I make offerings to Padmasambhava.
I make offerings to Padmasambhava.
I make offerings to the Buddhas.
I make offerings to the Buddhas.
I make offerings to the Dharma.
I make offerings to the Dharma.
And to the sons and daughters of the Buddha.
And to the sons and daughters of the Buddha.
Who are oceans of excellence.
Who are oceans of excellence.
Conjuring them in my mind.
Conjuring them in my mind.
I offer all the flowers in the world.
I offer all the flowers in the world.
I offer all the fruits.
I offer all the fruits.
I offer all the fragrant plants.
I offer all the fragrant plants.
I offer the clear, refreshing waters.
I offer the clear, refreshing waters.
I offer the crystal mountains.
I offer the crystal mountains.
The tranquil forests.
The tranquil forests.
And the wild places.
And the wild places.
I offer the wines bright with flowers.
I offer vines bright with flowers.
I offer trees heavy with fruit.
I offer trees heavy with fruit.
I offer lakes adorned with lotuses.
I offer lakes adorned with lotuses.
And the haunting cry of the wild geese.
And the haunting cry of the wild geese.
Conjuring these things up in my mind.
Conjuring these things up in my mind.
I offer them to the Buddhas.
I offer them to the Buddhas.
and to their sons and daughters.
And to their sons and daughters.
Who are oceans of excellence.
Who are oceans of excellence.
Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hong Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Ma Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Om Ma Om Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Om Om Ma Om Transference of merit and self-surrender in calling in response. With no sense of loss.
With no sense of loss.
I give myself to the Buddhas.
I give myself to the Buddhas.
I give my merits for the benefit of all.
I give my merits for the benefit of all.
May I be the doctor.
May I be the doctor.
May I be the nurse.
May I be the nurse.
For all beings.
For all beings.
Until the world is cured.
Until the world is cured.
May I be a light.
May I be a light.
For those who are lost.
For those who are lost.
May I be a harbor.
May I be a harbor.
For those that need shelter.
For those that need shelter.
Like the earth and the water.
Like the earth and the water.
Like the fire and the air.
Like the fire and the air.
May I be a servant.
May I be a servant.
To beings on earth.
To beings on earth.
Until the world is whole.
Until the world is whole.
Just as the Buddhas before me.
Just as the Buddhas before me.
Set their minds on enlightenment.
Set their minds on enlightenment.
Just as they trained.
Just as they trained.
On the Buddha's path.
On the Buddha's path.
So now I too.
So now I too.
For the welfare of the world.
For the welfare of the world.
Set my mind on enlightenment.
Set my mind on enlightenment.
So now I too.
Oh, now I too.
Will train on the Buddha's path.
Will train on the Buddha's path.
Today my life has borne fruit.
Today my life has borne fruit.
Today I have been born.
Today I have been born.
In the family of the Buddha. In
the family of the Buddha.
Today I have become.
Today I have become.
One of the Buddha's clan.
One of the Buddha's clan.
Just like a blind man.
Just like a blind man.
Who finds by chance.
Who finds by chance.
A jewel in a dung heap.
A jewel in a dung heap.
So by some chance.
So by some chance.
This precious attitude.
This precious attitude.
Has arisen in me.
Has arisen in me.
This is the elixir of life.
This is the elixir of life.
That puts an end to death.
That puts an end to death.
This is the priceless treasure.
This is the priceless treasure.
That ends all poverty on earth.
That ends all poverty on earth.
This is the supreme medicine.
This is the supreme medicine.
That cures the world's disease.
That cures the world's disease.
This is the bridge to freedom.
This is the bridge to freedom.
That leads from unhappy states.
that leads from unhappy states.
For the whole procession of humanity.
For the whole procession of humanity.
Traveling the roads of existence.
Traveling the roads of existence.
In search of happiness.
In search of happiness.
This will give them joy.
This will give them joy.
Today in the presence of the Buddhas.
Today in the presence of the Buddhas.
I invite the world to be my guest.
I invite the world to be my guest.
At a great feast of delight.
At a great feast of delight.
May all beings rejoice.
May all beings rejoice.
Om Aum Vajra Guru Padmasi Om Vajra Guru Padmasri Om Vajra Guru Padma Sri Om. So that brings us to the conclusion of our puja and our afternoon session.